everybody. Welcome to Soapbox. My name is Mauro DiPasquale. I'm the executive director here at WCCA TV 13, the People's Channel, also your host on this program. Soapbox was created to give everyone an opportunity, a little extra opportunity here at WCCA to participate in Worcester's public access process. You know, you can produce your own television shows or present television shows. You can learn how to do all that here at WCCA. If you're a young person, we also have year-round after-school programs for you to participate. We encourage you to visit our website at WCCATV.com. And on that website, you can also view this program as we stream in real time. We also make a few of our programs available through downloading. And there's also all kinds of information. If you have an event, a public event you'd like to share with us here at the station, please give us a call at 508-755-1880, extension 10. You'll talk with Tracy. She'll get your message up on our bulletin board. She can book you for this program. And also, if you visit that website I told you about earlier, at WCCATV.com, you can post your own event right on our events calendar. So there's all kinds of opportunities available through WCCATV to help you reach out and connect with our community. So we want to thank you for doing that. We certainly thank you for your support. If you would like to make a donation or contribution to the station, or perhaps you have a skill to share, maybe you could teach others how to work computers and all that. We're certainly looking for that, and we would welcome you to be part of our team here at WCCA. Speaking of team, I want to thank our cameraman for filling in today. We have Matt Florio on camera, one of our interns, and also Frank Rocco behind the engineering booth here. So thank you for joining us on Soapbox, and thank you for watching WCCA TV 13, the People's Channel. Joining us today, hopefully we'll have two guests, but right now we have Russet Morrow Breslau. Mm-hmm. Did I say it right?
That's right.
And she's the coordinator of media advisory for Tobacco Free Mass, which is a health coalition. We're going to learn about that, and also the Mass Health Tobacco Cessation Benefit that's coming up soon. So we're going to get some details about that and why it's so important to about this issue. So thanks for being here, Russet.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's good
thanks
to
for
see
having
you.
Me on.
And we're looking forward to perhaps Aisha for joining us. Mm-hmm. And her last name is, if I can get it right, Khmer, right?
Mm-hmm. Khmer, yep. Khmer. That's right.
So she'll be here soon. But maybe we'll start with you.
Sure.
Because I know she's driving in. And
sure.
Hopefully she's not lost in the city streets. But tell me a little bit about what is this? What's the tobacco cessation benefit?
Well, it's a pilot program that lasts for 2 years. It was passed by the legislature, signed into law by Governor Romney last April. It started in July of 2006. It was passed, as I say, as a pilot program, and it ends in July of 2008. It basically allows anyone who is virtually, anybody who is on MassHealth, who subscribes to Medicaid, and who smokes and wants to quit, to be able to access counseling, face-to-face counseling, telephone counseling, patches, and any sort of FDA-approved medication to allow them to help quit, to allow them to try to quit smoking.
So it provides resources
exactly.
and tools even to use?
Exactly. That's exactly well, right.
And how are these resources and tools accessed? Is there a place where they can go for
you
that?
You have to, if they come and talk to their doctor and ask for a prescription for the patch or, like I say, any sort of FDA-approved medication like Chantix has been in the news lately, mm-hmm. Then they are able to literally take that prescription to their pharmacy and get the medication for themselves for either free or usually a very low cost copay.
Oh wow! So this tobacco cessation program, mm-hmm. it actually helps cover some of that cost
exactly.
for all these people.
It covers, like I say, pretty much everything. And this is certainly something that a lot of people who have wanted to quit and are subscribers have not been able to access in the past. Because let's face it, the cost of a pack of cigarettes is about $5.50, but the cost of a box of patches is more like $50, and that's really hard for a lot of people to afford. And so this you know, for a dollar or two copay, they're able to afford a whole box of patches or pills or whatever they need to, whatever they need to do to quit smoking is excellent.
So how is that funded? Where does the funding come to support those kind of resources?
As part of the passage of the pilot program back last spring, The legislature allotted $7 million each year for 2 years, so for a total of $14 million to help pay for this benefit. Mm-hmm. So it's something that the state is picking up, and really, it makes a lot more sense to help people quit smoking now than treat sick smokers in the future, where the cost to Medicaid would be close to maybe $800 million. Yeah. Dollars. Yeah.
Yeah, not to mention all the pain
exactly.
they'll suffer and the
it's
families.
An economic and emotional health costs.
Yeah, yeah.
We're avoiding a lot of that by helping people now.
Right. So is the state getting that money from tobacco penalties and fees or from taxes from the tobacco sales? Or?
Right now it's coming out of the general fund.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right.
So now this benefit is to help raise additional funds? Is that what this is about? Or it's not a benefit event?
We call it an event that's
okay,
taking place.
Right,
we just call it a benefit because
right,
it's,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because it's a benefit to people who want to quit.
yeah. Well, that's right. Okay, well, that's good. That's a good point. I'm glad you made that point, an important point. So the tobacco cessation benefit is this program, is a plan
exactly.
that's set out. So why is this so important?
Well, really, people who are on, again, people who smoke and want to be able to quit and who subscribe to MassHealth in the past have not had any sort of way to access prescriptions or to access any kind of help, to access counseling. You've had to pay for it out of your pocket if you want to quit, and it's really hard to do that. So for somebody to be able to give the pharmacy a dollar and get all of this help in return, I think is a really valuable thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the things that Tobacco Free Mass, which is an advocacy organization, is working on is making sure that this cessation program becomes a permanent benefit. Because if I'm a smoker and I'm not ready to quit now, but I'm ready to quit in September of 2008, I want to be able to do that. And I think it's only fair to allow people to be able to do that whenever they want to, as opposed to having this cutoff in July of 2008.
Yeah, so there is kind of a timeline.
There's a little bit of a timeline, and like I say, one of the things that Tobacco Free Mass is working on is making this a permanent benefit.
Yeah.
We've done through the Massachusetts Comprehensive Cancer Coalition, we've done some outreach to local organizations that work with MassHealth subscribers, just to kind of let them know about it in the first place. Our hope is that if a lot of people use this benefit, that the state will see that it's a really valuable thing and will want to make it permanent. We've also worked with a state representative and state senator to file a bill that would do the same thing, that would make this benefit a permanent benefit. Mm. So we've gone about it at a couple of different angles in terms of making sure that this is around for the long term.
Yeah. Gee, you would think that would be benefit from the beginning, like it's permanent.
We were certainly hoping for something like that. And I think that.
But was there some challenges somewhere along the way?
I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth, other than this is something that Massachusetts was one of the few states. I think there were close to 40 other states that have a benefit like this in place already, and Massachusetts is one of the few states that didn't have it. And so I think that maybe they were testing the waters a little bit. There's a concern that anything. Things cost money, and I think there was a little bit of hesitation to make it permanent if they put this money aside and people weren't going to be using it.
Right.
So certainly, again, that's one of the things that we want to make sure happens, is that people know about it and then use it as well.
Yeah, it doesn't sound encouraging for the medications to be more expensive than the actual cigarettes. So
exactly,
you know,
it's
so
tough.
There isn't much incentive.
Yeah.
There's a little incentive if you know that you're going to die from smoking.
Well, right, but it's so tough to quit. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right, and it's tough for me to just throw out $50 for anything.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
So for somebody who's on a fixed income, certainly it's even more difficult. And hopefully this will really encourage people to make a go of it.
Yeah. Do you think it'll work? Have there been any statistics as far as how many people have actually took advantage of the tobacco cessation benefit?
I think that the Department of Public Health is very encouraged. You'd have to ask Aisha to get some more specifics. Part of the concern or the issue that we're having is that a lot of people don't know that it's even in place in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. MassHealth has been working with doctors who provide the services, but there are a lot of people who don't know it even exists. And so, you're trying to quit smoking, and your doctor doesn't always ask, how can I help, you should really stop smoking. We have, you need to ask your doctor about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into some situations where there are people asking for the benefit and the doctors aren't even aware of it in the first place. So we've got some work to do. We've got some work ahead of us if we hope to get people to use the benefit in the first place.
Yeah, so not all the doctors, people are aware of this program?
Right. Yeah. I know, as I say, Mass Health has done some outreach with the doctors, but I think it takes kind of a couple of tries. And making sure that you get to the right person within each physician's practice to make sure that they're aware of it.
Yeah. Now, what brought you to this kind of business?
Me personally?
Yeah.
To Tobacco-Free Mass? Honestly, I answered a job, a help wanted ad. But it's a terrific organization. It was started, we're a 50-member advocacy organization. We work on tobacco prevention and cessation policies. And our members range from, the smallest community center in Western Massachusetts to American Cancer Society to American Heart Association. So our organizations run the gamut. And American Cancer Society actually started the coalition back in 1991 around the Question One ballot initiative to raise the tobacco excise tax by 25 cents, and kind of just kept going from then. And so we've done things like work on getting some additional funding for the state's tobacco prevention and cessation program. Mm-hmm. That's been slashed. The budget itself for the program has been slashed in the last couple of years. We also worked on, I'm sure you're very familiar with the statewide smoke-free workplace law that was passed in 2004. We were an advocacy organization behind that. So kind of whatever you think of tobacco control and you know, we're trying to do things around that. And again, this is one of the things we've been working on for a couple of years, is trying to get this Medicaid cessation benefit passed. And like I say, we've kind of gone one step with it, where it's at least in place for a couple of years, and we need to go a little bit further with it.
Yeah. So do you know, has it been successful? Are there people partaking in it?
Yeah, we've heard. I mean, anecdotally, we certainly have heard that there are a number of people who have used it.
Yeah.
Which we're very encouraged by.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We got. I know Aisha's coming in to join us, and so we're gonna. But we're gonna keep the camera on you. So,
sure. Okay.
So there has been some people utilizing the program.
Yes. Certainly, we've heard that.
So hopefully, people are getting.
They're getting
some
the
help
message.
And they're getting the message.
Yeah.
And so, what can we do to get more word out for the medical industry, for the doctors and pharmacists?
I think it's a matter of. Again, MassHealth both working on continuing its outreach, and also our organization as an advocacy organization doing some more public outreach, making sure that we're hitting the right areas and not just sending a press release out here and there, but actually touching the organizations and physicians' offices that work with the MassHealth population.
Yeah, so this is a long-term issue, and it's something that needs to be a lot of attention on it, right?
One of the things that we've been doing is we have targeted a couple of community health centers, and I think they're mostly in eastern Massachusetts, to really work with the staff to make them understand that this benefit is available and try to get them to do some of their own outreach rather than just our organization doing outreach, but do their own outreach amongst their clients and within their community. So we're hoping to do a little bit more of that also over the next year.
Yeah. What can we do to tell people to, what can our viewers do out there to spread the word?
If you're interested in this benefit and in letting people know how important it is, I'd say certainly call your state representative, call your state senator, tell them that this is a very important benefit. I'd also encourage you to visit our website. It's tobaccofreemass.org, and sign up to become an e-champion, and you'll get some updates from us about what's going on in the world of tobacco prevention and cessation, and you'll get some more information about this benefit and how else you can help. Sure.
Sure, absolutely. Very good. And we got Aisha Kamertz.
Kamertz.
Thank you for joining us, Aisha.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you made it. I know.
So sorry.
That's okay. We have traffic to deal with sometimes, and we're glad you made it okay.
New to Worcester, so it was a nice little adventure getting to know your city.
Now, you're an MBA. You're with the health policy. You're a health policy analyst.
That's correct.
And you're from the Executive Office of Health and Human Services, MassHealth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we begin, because you're coming into the show. We learned a little bit about the tobacco cessation benefit. But why don't you add your perspective to it? You could tell us about, how this benefit was designed and you know, so, coming from your position.
I've been the project manager on the Mass Health Tobacco Cessation Benefit Project since the mandate went into place. And it's been a very strong collaborative effort with the Department of Public Health and their tobacco control program, because as Russet was saying, they've had a lot of experience and a great deal of breadth in this work, offering services across the state. So, you know, MassHealth is a portion of our state, obviously, and of that community, so we really wanted to learn from them and their experience to be able to design a benefit that would really be the best for our members. Mm-hmm. And so that design process involved working with subject matter experts in the community. We have some of the best experts in tobacco control and smoking cessation in the nation, some of the best researchers out of Mass General Hospital, and we all know of the amazing medical community we have here in Massachusetts, so I won't go on. But in this case, we were very fortunate to have some experts who could really help inform our decision-making process around the design of the benefit, and we worked with them, as well as some of the community at UMass Med School. They also work in collaboration with the Department of Public Health Tobacco Control Program and work a lot with providers and training people to become tobacco cessation counselors. So we worked with them to make sure that we had a sense of what the providers needed as well as what the members needed in order to make sure the benefit would really work.
So is this available? This is available for everyone?
This is available for all MassHealth members.
MassHealth members, mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, yeah, how can MassHealth members access the program? I know, Russa, you talked a little bit about it. Maybe you can add to
the
it.
The primary way that the benefit was designed, especially in lieu of the fact that the benefit initially was designed and mandated as a pilot benefit, so it wasn't, as Russet was speaking about, we really want to work to make sure that it is most effective so that it will become a permanent benefit. And as the project manager, I really am a very strong believer of making sure that this continues, and so we're working to do that. When we designed the benefit, we designed it so that the source of services would be the primary care clinician. So that really means that a MassHealth member, hopefully already has a primary care provider and a doctor that they go to for their mm-hmm. primary care, for their regular checkups, for all of their routine care, as well as if they have, you know, the flu or something. Yeah. And so they would go to that doctor and say, you know, hopefully, I'm interested in quitting smoking. I heard that there are new services. What can you do? And the good thing about the benefit is it's designed to be very flexible. The counseling portion of the benefit is up to 16 sessions over the course of a 12-month cycle. We know from research that most people, when they're utilizing counseling to help them quit smoking, they only use 3 or 4 sessions usually on average. But we really wanted to make sure that if they tried to quit and had a relapse and needed to come back for more counseling, that they wouldn't have any problems with access. Mm-hmm. We also made sure that we didn't require counseling in order for people to get the medication. So that's a fairly controversial element of the benefit. Different programs do different things around that. But initially, we wanted to make sure that we would be able to offer the most open access to these services, sure, so that we could really evaluate what works best, and then over time see how we might potentially readjust the policy to see mm-hmm. if there are other ways that we want to give people access to the service.
So you're looking for immediacy, if possible.
Right, we want a person to be able to go to their doctor and say, I want help quitting, and for the doctor to say, okay, you know, hopefully, I've got a counselor in my office down the hall who you can go and see. Or if at the time the provider isn't that knowledgeable, they might already know about the Department of Public Health's QuitWorks program, which is a phone counseling support mm-hmm. system. So they could also say, you know, I don't have a counselor right now, but you can get phone counseling through QuitWorks. And many providers might know about it because QuitWorks and the Department of Public Health program was promoting their phone counseling service for statewide to hospitals all across the state prior to the implementation of this benefit. So mm-hmm. there's already a little bit of groundwork that's been done on some level of counseling services for MassHealth members and people all over Massachusetts and the Commonwealth. And then also for the provider to be able to say, even if you don't want counseling or however you want to go about accessing that, if they don't have it in their office at the time, these are the medications we have. This is the information about medications that might help. You know, the benefit covers over-the-counter medications like the patch, the mm-hmm. lozenge, and that's fairly unique. Not everybody covers over-the-counter medications. Those are usually very expensive if you just mm-hmm. buy them at the drugstore. So we wanted to facilitate people's process and allow them to potentially access that medication. But there are also prescription medications that can assist people in quitting smoking, and we also cover those as part of the benefit. And so it's really to want to encourage people when they're working on quitting to partner with their provider to have a dialogue about what's going to work best for them and to work with their doctor to make the best decisions in their quit process. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they would combine counseling and medication. We know from a lot of research that that is the most effective way to quit smoking, usually, is to have a combination of both. The rates of quitting increase by 50% when mm-hmm. people combine both.
Yeah. Now, for those who may be watching who are the actual providers for this service, what can you advise them as far as steps to take to get involved?
Well, providers for the counseling service could be a range of medical professions. You could have primary care physicians. If they are really champions mm-hmm. of tobacco cessation, they may choose to provide the counseling. We think, though, it's more likely because primary care clinicians tend to be very busy and have fairly fast-moving practices, that they might facilitate having a registered nurse or one of their physician's assistants or possibly a nurse practitioner in their practice provide the counseling service. Mm-hmm. So that person would become the counselor in the office. If they didn't have one of those clinically registered staff available to provide the counseling, then a physician could potentially hire a tobacco cessation counselor. And that person simply needs to have a basic level of certification, which needs to be at a minimum 8 hours of training. We kept the mm-hmm. training minimum yeah. low initially so that people could go ahead and get the certification sure. and become counselors. And they could, as long as they're under the physician's supervision, then they can provide the counseling, and the physician is the one who would do the billing. And that's the same in a community health center or an outpatient department hospital. You could hire these people, or you can use people with clinical licenses and then bill for the counseling under the community health center or the physician's office.
And UMass Medical here in Worcester is actually one of the mm-hmm. if not the only place that's doing a lot of that training.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, we partnered with them, and so we knew that they had excellent resources for the training of tobacco cessation specialists, and mm-hmm. they actually did that prior to the benefit. They had been training people and working with the DPH in that. So.
Yeah. So the counseling is a major component to this, isn't it? It seems from hearing what
you're saying. It's we all really value the service, and mm-hmm. we have a great deal of desire to really encourage people to utilize counseling, and we know that it is a very effective means of quitting smoking in combination with medication.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's very unique, and it makes this benefit more of more of a model mm-hmm. in comparison to some other states.
Yeah.
There's a whole different range of ways in which states can cover tobacco cessation services. They can simply cover the medications. They could cover the medications and rely on other counseling but not cover it, or mm-hmm. reimburse the providers
sure.
for delivering it.
This is more of a comprehensive approach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Can you discuss a little bit about what you're doing to outreach this program for those who are
sure.
members, or those who maybe should consider being members to do this?
Well, we've been working still in collaboration with the Department of Public Health through the whole project, and they have a great deal of experience also in public health campaigns, and so we partnered with them. They recently did a statewide mass media campaign that included transit and radio ads. They specifically marketed to women in this campaign, and what they did was they found real people who had success with quitting smoking and had their stories, and then they had sort of billboards, and they made flyers that accompanied the images and everything, and then there was secondary language that spoke about, if you're a MassHealth member, you can get support, ask your provider, call this mm-hmm. number. And so that outreach campaign happened at the beginning of this year, back in January.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently working on developing an outreach program which would probably have a similar touch and feel. We don't want people to be confused about smoking cessation and be getting different messages from all sorts of different sources. And so one of the real benefits of working in collaboration with really the other primary state agency in delivering tobacco cessation services and support is that we can make sure we have similar messages. So the basic message is that we want to encourage people to quit smoking. The fact that MassHealth members have a service that's available is something we want them to know about. And in telling them, they will also hopefully speak to their providers, and vice versa, providers would be able to see the mass media information and realize, oh yeah, you know, my MassHealth members have this new resource. But the bottom line is we want to help people quit smoking, mm-hmm. and that's really a major focus. So we'll be working on implementing our own campaign to encourage people to continuously learn about the benefit. We also update our website, send out, probably looking at redistributing messages to providers and members as mm-hmm. we have possible through our system. We have a number of different ways that we can communicate with our providers.
And as Russet was discussing earlier, there's still a need to move legislation into making this more of a permanent, longer-term program, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that look hopeful?
Yeah, it looks very hopeful.
I think both the legislature and MassHealth and DPH have been pretty encouraged in terms of the numbers that they've seen so far of people utilizing this benefit. Mm-hmm. And like I say, the higher numbers that we can show of people using this, the more likely it is to pass.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a real understanding in the last year or so of the fact that preventive programs are the way to go. Mm-hmm. You help somebody quit smoking now, you get them exercising now, and in the long run it's going to cost a lot
sure.
less to treat them.
Sure.
And I think
mm-hmm.
there's a real awareness of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can people who are interested in working in this issue participate and help out?
Certainly, you may have something to say about this, mm. but if they're interested, you know, mean in terms of making this permanent,
mm-hmm. Or in any way,
yeah. I'd say call your state legislator mm-hmm. and let mm-hmm. them know. It's easy to reach the State House. The number is 617-722-2000. Ask for your state senator or state representative. Let them know that you know about this benefit, you know how important it is, and you want them to understand how important it is. And certainly if you contact us at Tobacco Free Mass, we've got some ideas as well.
That's tobaccofreemass.org.
Mm-hmm. That's right? Our website address. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Very good. We're nearly out of time. Aisha, any final comments to wrap up today's program?
I think that, you know, something that's really important to be aware of as far as making the benefit permanent is we are looking at evaluating the success that we've had to date. We know that over 10,000 members have used the benefit, which is fairly good news to date.
Yeah, very good news.
One of the things that we, just to give you a sense of what that number really means, in MassHealth, about 35% of the members smoke. That's about twice as much as the state smoking rate. However, in an average smoking cessation program that you run, you're usually fortunate if you get a 5% participation rate and real involvement in the benefits. So, we feel pretty confident that we're actually doing a little bit more than that in getting the members utilizing the benefit. And those numbers are continuing to increase, actually, each month. That goes up anywhere from 10 to 15% right now. So the rate is really building.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think, has to do with the fact that we have been working to outreach and to tell people about the benefit and to really encourage people. Something else we'll be doing is MassHealth is going to be encouraging and supporting MassHealth members to be involved with overall wellness. And part of wellness and having a healthy lifestyle is being smoke-free. So if you don't smoke, don't start. If you smoke, see if whatever you can do, taking small steps that you can really successfully take and so that you can get on the road to quitting. And ultimately, that's what we want to encourage people to do. And we'll continue to work with advocacy organizations and the Department of Public Health to really make sure that we can show through our evaluation and our report that this benefit will hopefully become permanent and needs to be.
Well, we wish you much success, and we're talking about quality of life, but more than that, quality of longer life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us. We have Aisha and Russet joining us regarding the MassHealth Tobacco Cessation Benefit. Until next time, I'm Mauro DiPasquale, and I look forward to seeing you on WCCA-TV 13, the People's Channel.